Amen, saints. This morning I wanted to start with something a little bit broader, but we'll get to the topic soon.
Amen.
And the first thing I wanted to remind us all of was some points that came up in our morning revival a few weeks ago. It was the last week of the Memorial Day conference.
Amen.
There was an outline point on the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. And, you know, we're here. We love the Lord Jesus.
Right.
We have to be perfected. And we know what the Lord's goal is, right?
Yeah.
To build up the body of Christ. But we need to know, or it's helpful to see what the reality of the body of Christ is. So I just wanted to start off with some of the definitions that were mentioned in the outline. So I'll just read them to you, and I think we'll see in a minute how it's related to the topic. So the reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living by the perfected God-men, who are genuine men, but who do not live by their own life, but by the life of the process and consummated triune God,
Amen.
Whose attributes are expressed through their virtues. The reality of the body of Christ is a living by all the God-men,
Amen.
United, mingled, and constituted together with God, by mingling humanity with divinity and divinity with humanity.
Amen.
The reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living of the conformity to the death of Christ through the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
All right, so in all of these definitions, helpful definitions that were given concerning the body of Christ, one word besides God and men that appears in every definition is this matter of living.
Amen. Amen.
And this is the subject of what we want to talk about today, our living,
Amen.
And specifically our corporate living.
Amen.
Our corporate living gives us the opportunity to touch the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so I don't claim to know in full how we can live and work out the reality of the body of Christ, but at least in part, what we want to talk about today is the title that we have on the sheet, A Small Group Living.
Amen.
And so this is our focus for today, how we can have a small group living which allows us to touch the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so as part of a small group living, of course, you need to have a small group. And we hope that everyone here is connected to a small group.
Amen.
But kind of like we mentioned in the last perfecting time, we don't just want to be perfunctorily engaged in a small group.
Right.
But in the small group, as with any other service, we should have the attitude of being small business owners.
Yeah.
Amen.
Our small group should be our small business.
Right.
Amen.
Where we're engaged and we're concerned about our small group.
Right.
And so, you know, for us that have been meeting together for some time, we may know how to, quote unquote, have a small group.
Right? Amen.
Kind of know the drill. We show up. We bring some food, we eat, then we sing, then maybe we read a little bit of the word and then go home, right? And we may feel refreshed, we enjoy the time together, but I hope there would be some more thought and some more engagement in our being in the small groups, right? And for us, I just want to give you some context. In our small group recently, we've been thinking about having a split in the very near future, beginning next week, in fact.
Wow.
And as we were considering why we should have the split, there were a few reasons why we wanted to do it. Once you get to a certain size with a small group, then it becomes a little bit harder to know one another. It becomes a little bit harder to function properly. And also becomes a little bit harder to gain the proper increase to hold people. And so for a variety of these reasons, we've been considering a small group split. And in order to properly have a small group, we were getting into some ministry and some of
Amen.
The burden behind having a small group.
Amen.
And this is, a lot of it is based on Hebrews 10:24-25, which you have on your sheet here. So why don't we read this verse together, both 24 and 25, and then I'll say a little bit more afterwards.
Amen. Amen.
And let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works, not abandoning our own assembling together, as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen. All right, and so next, let's read some of these portions that we have here under this first point, considering one another so as to incite one another to love and good works. We can read the first paragraph and alternate brothers and sisters, and then skip to the third paragraph after that.
Amen.
The brothers' first sentence.
Verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10 are the basis for our practice of the small meetings.
These verses say, and let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works, not abandoning our own assembling together, as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day drawing near.
Amen. These verses first say that we need to consider one another.
Listen.
This implies that we have genuine care for all the members of our vital group.
To care for one another means to consider one another.
Today we may not care for others.
We do not really care whether or not a certain brother comes to the meeting, or whether or not a certain sister is sick.
Genuine care for one another needs to be recovered among us.
Amen.
Amen. The more thorough our
fellowship is, the better.
Amen.
Do we know the occupations of the saints in our group and where each one works?
Do we know the first and last names of every member of our vital group with their proper pronunciation?
By considering these questions, that our fellowship has not been thorough.
Amen.
To love one another involves a lot.
Amen.
We need to endeavor to know one another intimately in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If someone is absent from our vital group meeting, we should immediately ask where he or she is. When you take action together in serving the Lord, you will see that this is very important.
Week after week we have been meeting together, yet we still do not really know one another.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so this was a big factor in our consideration for the small groups. How well do we really know one another, and how well can we render genuine care for one another? And I think this sentence that we read in the first paragraph really struck me. The genuine care for one another needs to be recovered among us. And I think as we were reading, many of us were touched too. There's just a sense within, yes, this genuine care among us needs to be recovered.
Amen.
So how can we recover this genuine care among us? Well, the first step, like it mentioned in the third paragraph, is we need to fellowship with one another.
Amen.
If we don't know one another, then it's hard to render care to one another. So we need to have much and thorough fellowship with one another. Just as a kind of funny example, it mentioned not knowing each other's names, right? Well, there was a brother in our house, and I found out recently he doesn't know how to spell my last name. But it's okay, it's a small thing, right? But there's just this kind of, you know, even though we're common, we live together for a few years now, this brother, you know, may or may not know how to spell my last name, which is not a big deal to me, but I think this shows something, right? We may be together a lot, we may spend a lot of time, but there's certain things about one another we may not adequately know because we haven't taken the time to get to know each other in that way, right? So in considering our small group split, which I mentioned earlier, one thing that has been on my heart and a lot of my consideration in prayer is how do we ensure that these small groups going forward are healthy? How do we ensure that they can go on? And a component is our knowing one another through our fellowship with one another.
Amen.
And so, you know, some in our small group have just started a new home together, and I've just been considering what's the best way, right? How can we help these ones that may be starting a new home meeting? have a healthy start and a good continuation to their church life. And for this, we need to know one another. All right, so this is, I've been kind of repeating this, but this is this is kind of my main feeling. We need to know one another.
Amen.
For that, we need to learn how to open to one another.
Amen.
And this can take place in the small group meetings, settings, but it should take place beyond just a once-a-time meeting, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about a living, it's more than just a meeting, but it's something that involves consistency. It's something that takes time, and it's something that takes a while to build up. And so I just wanted to share some of our experience in the past year of some of the things we've done to get to know one another and open to one another as a practical way to do this.
Uh-huh.
We all sense, right, that we have a need for this genuine care, but how do we actually do it? What can we do? So in our small group in the past year or so, what we've been practicing to do is we come together and then we ask one another, how are you doing in your spirit, your soul, and your body?
Amen.
And so we get to know one another, not just how you're doing generally, but specifically, how is your body, right? How is this part of your being? How is your soul? How is this part of your being? How is your spiritual condition?
Amen.
And so our getting to know one another isn't just a kind of common knowing. We don't want to just be know one another in the natural sense, but we should have a care for one another's spiritual condition.
Amen.
How are you doing in the Lord?
Right.
Is there any problem with this one that's hindering his growth in life, right?
Mm.
Is there something of the world, some anxiety that's choking the growth? Is there some deceitfulness of riches? How is their personal time with the Lord? All of these questions are a little bit difficult to answer in a bigger group setting. And so in our times together with a few of us, we've just been considering these things and opening to one another.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that I am not the kind of person that enjoys doing this.
Uh-huh.
I don't really like opening myself to other people.
Yeah.
Maybe this is more of a brother thing, but I think in general, I'm not the only one that is kind of uncomfortable telling how I'm actually doing. And so I appreciated these definitions that I started out with the reality of the body of Christ. The third one says, the reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living of the conformity to the death of Christ through the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And so even in our opening, I was impressed. In my experience of opening to the Lord and to the saints, I need to experience the death of Christ through the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Amen.
To break through my disposition, which is inclined just to be quiet, just to hide myself and to think everything's okay. And if the saints ask me if things are fine, sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm fine. But I think we've all been there, and we realize sometimes when we say that, we're not being genuine. Right?
Yeah.
We're not really being open. And if we're not really open to one another, we can't really know one another and render the genuine care for one another.
Amen.
And so I hope we all would practice. This is a perfecting time, right?
Amen.
There should be two or three around us. We should practice learning to open genuinely to one another, right? In a very practical way. What's our work situation? How's the condition of our soul? How are these things that are affecting us, right? We should learn to open to the saints. And when we have this kind of opening to the saints, I think we can have this sentiment and this feeling that's described in hymn 857 that we say,
amen.
Right, where we can feel a brother's sigh, bear with him apart, right? And we have this verse in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it.
Amen.
Where one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
And so this should be the atmosphere that we have in our church life,
right.
And this, I think, is a something that we can experience in our small group living with one another.
Amen.
And so, finally, I just want to conclude with these verses in John 17:21. Why don't we read John 17:21 together at the top?
Amen.
That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me.
Amen. Yeah. And there's also another verse in 23, John 17:23, that I'll read. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
Amen.
And so this verse talks about our being perfected into one, right? And so in this next section, under keeping the oneness, loving one another and having one accord, It describes not having a dormant oneness, where we kind of know we're one in fact, but having a genuine, active oneness and an acting oneness that comes through our knowing one another in genuine fellowship. And so then, like those verses in John say, our being perfected into one through our opening to one another, through our caring for one another, through our fellowship with one another, brings in a oneness that is a testimony to the world.
Amen.
And so our being one with one another ultimately is not just so that we can be one and we can love one another by itself and in itself, right? But there's a certain expression that comes out of this oneness. And this oneness attracts people.
Right? Amen.
This oneness can gain people, and this oneness can keep people.
Amen.
And so we're fellowshipping to have this kind of oneness for our going forward as a small group. But ultimately, right, we want not just to be one, but we want to gain the increase.
Right. Amen.
For the Lord's sake, Amen. That the world may know, right,
Amen.
That the Lord Jesus was sent into the world. And so I hope this is a kind of balancing. We're not just here to afterwards feel like, oh, no one knows me, I don't know anyone, and then we just kind of get together to try to get to know one another. But we need to see that the goal of our being one with one another
Amen.
Is so the Lord can get the increase.
Amen.
And the world can know, right?
Amen.
And so may we be perfected, may we practice a little bit more to know one another, open to one another, so that through us we can have the impact and the Lord can gain the increase.
Amen.
The world may know.
Amen.
So I hope we're encouraged to enter into this small group living.
Amen.
I was just considering recently there's been this rise of group exercise classes. And the reason why this is because people want this genuine community.
Yeah.
They want people who know them, they want people who have the same goal. They want to be cared for in this small group community. So this is why even some of the factors for why small group exercises are, you'll see it's on the rise. It's a huge industry right now. Mm-hmm. But even more in the church life, we should care so much for our small group living.
Amen.
I just wanted to give a confirming word to what Richard was saying. I think something we've been seeing, especially on this campus, is that people are not here to be a Christian on a club, per se, but they want to be connected with a church, and they want to be among those who are just fully pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
We hold a Bible study, and not many people will come or to be in a club. This matter of a club versus being in the church is just, you just feel like there's a cry.
Amen.
In the right. students here that we want something real.
Amen.
And actually, we have a proper small group living.
Yeah.
There is this attractiveness there.
Amen.
You come in, you feel the care, you feel the love of the saints, you feel that these ones are burdened for the gospel, and this is attractive.
Right.
Amen.
So we should have this feeling in us, man. I want to be a part of this small group living.
Amen.
Maybe even more than before. And this is in a sense for the gospel. This is for the preaching of the gospel and the healing of people.
Amen.
So that was just a confirmation I want to give. Care for the small group living.
Amen.
You should care for the small group living.
Amen.
And I guess practically too, we wanted to cover how can we enter into this kind of living. I think there is this desire within us, but how do we do this? And there's two main points I wanted to bring out here. The first is that ourselves, we need to be made vital and living.
Amen.
We need to go before the Lord to ask the Lord, Lord, how vital and how living am I?
Amen.
We don't want to get introspective in this, but it's not bad. Maybe we spend 30 minutes with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We spend 30 minutes with the Lord and ask Him, Lord,
right?
How vital and how living am I?
Amen.
Can I go on in this matter this year?
Right.
And there's three aspects I would say that we can ask the Lord about. First is our love toward Him.
Amen.
Our consecration toward Him. That's the first thing. Maybe, you know, actually, we consider all of this in the realm of these three points in the realm of the small group. Maybe it would touch something that makes the small group not so fresh to us, or maybe would refresh our burden to be with the saints. So first is our consecration before the Lord.
Amen.
The second, which Richard touched, is this matter of just being an individual Christian. Maybe we feel like, okay, I'm doing good spiritually, but actually the Lord placed us in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so we need to confess maybe this is actually a sin of individualism, to think that we can make it by ourselves. This is something we need to confess before the Lord and ask the Lord, are there saints that I'm burdened for that I love? And so that's the second point. The third point is this is a burden to bear fruit.
Amen.
To care for a new one, to care for the unbelievers, to go out on the gospel.
Right.
This is the third matter that we can bring before the Lord.
Amen.
So I'd say, you know, maybe this next week we can all enter into this, spend some time before the Lord. Lord, what about my consecration to you?
Right.
Lord, what about me being an individual? I want to be a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And third, Lord, what about my burden to bear fruit?
Amen.
You know, I think that's just a description of John 15.
Right. Yeah.
And so all of these things, if one of them is imbalanced, actually our living in the small group will feel short.
Mm-hmm.
Our living as a Christian will always feel short if we're missing if we're missing something in these three categories.
Amen.
So, you know, I don't want people to get too introspective, but we should consider these matters before the Lord.
Right. Right.
Amen.
And
amen.
The second part, after you know we feel we're clear, we need to just find one other saint.
Yeah.
You know, our small groups actually in here in Hall 4, it's more larger groups than small groups. And so, you know, maybe we want this small group living that's very attractive, but oftentimes I think it only starts with one or two other people. You know, we want to care for everybody, we want to, you know, want to include everybody, but actually, I think we should ask the Lord, what about one or two?
Amen.
You know, if I ask somebody right now, you know, who is your one or two? You should be able to say it right now. I would not be able to live without this or this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a proper condition. You know, I think, you know, maybe we hear this for a small group living and we just want to get to know everybody. And that's a positive thing, but I think it starts with really one or two.
Yeah.
So if practically we could leave this time and have a burden or know in our heart there's one or two that I'm vitally connected with, this would be a great thing.
Amen.
So anyways, those two ways to enter and be vital before the Lord and to find one or two.
Amen.
And the last thing I just want to speak about is that this matter of the small group living, it will take much time and much energy.
Yeah.
Brother Lee, when he talks about this matter of living in a small group, he actually compares it to living as an overcomer. You know, it's not a small thing to work this living out.
Yeah.
It's a genuine, according to 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it's the genuine work of faith. It's the genuine labor of love.
Amen. And
it's the endurance of hope.
Amen.
I guess a couple weeks back, we brought up this matter of the small group being our business, you know, and sometimes, you know, maybe after this time we want to just change our entire small group, do this or that, but I would say just realize that this will take time.
Yeah.
This will take your heart. It might take our endurance to work this out. I mean, because even if you consider when you're giving yourself to somebody, to opening yourself to somebody, that takes your heart, you know, and that your heart, you might get hurt, you know, or different things like that. But anyways, this is worth our endeavor.
Amen.
A small story that I had was in the training, we heard a message about opening to one another and caring for one another. And so I was so excited, you know, to get back on my team and just to, like, care for one another. And so I share my testimony. Like, on our ride to Riverside, it's an hour long. By the end of the time, everyone was asleep. And so after the time, I was like, man, Lord, like, I thought we're supposed to love one another and care for one another, you know? And, but at that time, the Lord just had mercy on me. I gained a little bit of me. And then I also found another brother on my team that we just began to pray.
Amen.
And so I think this is our experience here. You know, we want to be these ones, and we want to work out this small group living, which is really the living of the overcomers. So to do this, we need to be living, we need to find one or two, we need to just realize that this will take our time and it will take our heart.
Amen.
Can I share one quick other story? So, related to this matter of this living, expressing something and attracting people, it may not be very tangible at first. You know, you may not see anything differently or sense something different outwardly, but there does begin to have a certain effect. I think this is something we've just experienced in a small part in our small group. So we began to have these kinds of fellowships among some of us that I described, where we open to one another and get to know one another. And around this time, one of our sisters had a friend, a college friend that she was burdened for, that she began to bring around. And she this friend had been exposed to Christianity before, was very acquainted with some of the truths in the Bible, but she said that it never seemed that real to her. But over the course of this year, even though I don't think we knew anything was happening, and we're still working on our being one with one another, she was caught and she was kind of attracted by something. And so at the beginning of this year, we had a college meeting, and she gave a testimony about the small groups. And she said, I had heard, you know, about the teachings of Christ and Christianity, but it wasn't real to me. But when I came into the small group meeting or the home meeting, she said something like, I saw Christ embodied in these people. Then, you know, you look at us and we're just like, we didn't do anything. We were just having our normal living. But I think somehow, you know, through our opening to one another, there comes a genuine care. And there's a oneness there that other people can detect and that other people can see. And so this is an attraction to people. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to share that story. So I don't think we were particularly special or good at it. But somehow through our opening to one another, the Lord had a way to bless us and to attract people.
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to share a quick confirming fellowship and then... first, saints, I appreciate the brothers opening this burden up, because
Amen.
The things that are the most routine to us are the things that can be a trap to us in the church life. Our meetings, Lord's Day, prophesying, small group, they are apparently like routines, and we have to have a kind of a recalibration
Amen.
So that they would never Good. Become routine to us.
Amen. Amen.
Right, in Hebrews 10, I mentioned before, they use this word custom. When it talks about assembling together, there's a custom. And custom means habit. So we can have bad habits. And if we go through the routines, that's a bad habit. So every now and then we need this kind of word to help adjust us. And I was thinking, saints, you know, if you were to consider what the greatest thing the Lord Jesus did after 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. That's a tough question, right? What's the greatest thing the Lord did while he died? You know, he had the perfect God-man living, set up the prototype, the all-inclusive, you know, death, life-releasing resurrection, etc. Many, many things. But there are instances, too, in the ministry where, seen from another angle, one of the greatest things the Lord did was to produce this model of a corporate God-man living.
Amen.
Think about that. He spent 3.5 years, and what was the result? A group of disciples who were one with him and were perfected, in a sense. And then there were 120 in the upper room. But my point is, yes, the Lord accomplished many things, but in a sense, you can make an argument that the greatest legacy was this group of brothers who were blended together.
Amen.
Amen.
Who were living together and were now his reproduction and duplication.
Amen.
And this underscores how important, you know what that is? That's what we call the small group living. A Amen. Group of people who are different, but who are blended together.
Amen.
And who can be an extension of the Lord.
Amen.
So don't underestimate this kind of small group living or vital group living or whatever you would call it. Now, the third point, and this is my burden, this will just be a minute or two. What we see here in this excerpt is a cycle.
it's a cycle.
It starts with loving and considering one another. Then it starts with learning to be one with one another, praying with one another. But eventually there's increase. And the very last portion, we won't take the time to read it, but it ends with, you know what happens when you love one another, you become one, you pray together, you have fruit, you split, and you do it all over again. Right? This portion here says, in many places, those who are grouped together are not willing to be divided. In a sense, they fell in love with one another and wished to remain in the old group. This is absolutely wrong. Right? I know this is somewhat painful to read. So this is a perfecting time.
Amen.
Right? We all have to learn this new way and not delay any further. Amen. If within 1 year there is no fruit, no learning, and no new groups, we have wasted 1 year. Then it will be difficult to be rescued out of this situation. I know, not pleasant, but again, this is a perfecting time. So I hope you would see this cycle. And when we talk about the small groups blended together, the God corporate living, another word for that in the Bible is, you know what word I'm thinking of? It's coordination. Amen. That's really what it is. It's coordination. And remember, the best picture of coordination is in Ezekiel chapter 1. When you have these different people, different backgrounds, they even look different, and they become one. And amidst that environment, there's the wind.
Amen.
There's the cloud.
Amen.
There's a fire. There's electrum.
Amen.
What there's not is something that is always so steady, peaceful, tranquil, stable. It's kind of a paradox. When we live in this way, we love one another, we're burdened, and it's the greatest thing on earth. But then there's always the wind blowing.
Amen.
And once you think you've arrived, then the Lord blows on you.
Amen.
And something changes.
Amen.
And that's a paradox, but that's coordination. Amen. If we're ever set and settled and occupied and in a routine, it's a danger to us.
Amen.
Amen.
I say that much.
Amen. I just can't. I mean, when we think of the small group living, I think most of us, the verses we would think of would be Acts chapter 2. That's what I think of.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just have these verses day by day.
Amen.
Right? Not Friday to Friday, or Thursday to Thursday, or Wednesday to Wednesday. But day by day, continuing steadfastly with what?
One accord.
With one accord. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
So you have the one accord there. I mean, this, a lot of this fellowship is around the one accord.
Right.
It's through a care for one another. So there they are. They're breaking bread, in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house.
Amen.
House implies small, right?
Yeah.
Able to fit in a house. Some of us have small houses. That means we need to have groups that can fit in our houses. It means they need to be small.
Amen.
They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart, praising God and having grace with all the people.
Amen.
So surely that indicates, a living of loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord, right? Vitality. And then lastly, and the Lord added together, day by day, those who were being saved.
Amen.
So that's the increase. Wow. And surely they didn't just start congregating in the larger houses as more and more people were added. Now they just, few and fewer houses were used. They only used bigger and bigger houses.
Right.
No, certainly they, the ones that were being added, they got into their homes.
Amen.
And, which means that there was some splitting.
Yeah.
Some multiplication,
right?
Some further increase as people are being added. They continue to meet day by day and house to house.
Amen.
And so I really like this term, the small group living. We always talk about the small group meeting, the home meeting. But the living really backs up. It's like the small group meeting is I like to say it's like the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You see it above water, but underneath that, actually, most of the iceberg is underneath the water.
Yes.
Not above the water. So most of that Friday night gathering or Thursday night gathering, whatever it is, whatever small group, that's a very small part, actually. That's a minority,
right,
of the small group living.
Right.
The small group living underlies the week, day by day, house to house, all of these other things. So there's a lot to learn. I'm the first to admit this is a helpful recalibration and, just a good way of being adjusted and perfected, so that we don't get stuck in, like David said, the custom, the routine, but always endeavoring and learning in the small group living.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Question.
Yeah.
What would be the
appropriate number for the small group to be separated.
Yeah.
According to experience. Is that when we reach 20 numbers or 30 numbers?
Yeah, I'll just say briefly because of time. Well, first, you know, we did the reading, we had this fellowship, we encourage us to take it to the Lord.
Yeah.
We never mean to be legal as well.
Okay, yeah. Amen.
So I read this portion about 1 year, you wasted a year. We're not imposing that, you know. That word is for me as much as all of us.
Yeah.
So we have no legal feeling.
Amen.
Every group is has its own dynamic. Some have more young people, and of course, you have a lot of young people. You have to take care of that situation.
Yeah.
Amen.
I would say, generally, though, when you get to the teens, you really can start praying for a way to split. You know, in 2001, by the Lord's sovereignty, my family was placed with the Yao's family to start a small group. And we love one another, but we didn't fall in love with one another. And so probably within 2 years, we split. And then since then, in a sense, we've been together, but we've continued to split. And it's you know, every time you split, you look around, you say, wow, we have nothing left. But then you just, actually, the Lord adds, right? Because you become more desperate.
Yeah.
You really become more desperate. I would say another mark of it's time to split is when you come together and you look around and you say, wow, what a great meeting we have. We have so many. Wow, what? That might be time to split. You know, but I would say we should have more fellowship. But
amen.
But don't take any of this legally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
amen.
In prayer and in love with one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How about, like David said, because of time, we can spend a few minutes in prayer, just praying with your neighbor concerning what we heard this morning, and then we'll go through.